Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Sarah Cardew about a recent article evaluating the effect of saturated fat on the human liver. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
My name is Dr. Harold Bays. I'm medical director and president of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the chief science officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. Today, we're going to be talking about an article review, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Sarah Cardew. Sarah, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Great. Well, thank you. Again, my name is Dr. Sarah Cardew. I am a pediatric gastroenterologist located in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I'm an assistant professor at USF, John Hopkins, as well as FSU. I'm also a private practice physician, and I'm part of Pediatric Gastroenterology of Florida. And I have an interest in fatty liver, liver disease, and obesity. I'm board certified in peds, GI, and obesity. And I'm very involved with the OMA, including the pediatric committee, as well as the algorithm committee, and as well with many nutritional committees. Thank you again for inviting me to talk to you today.
So the article that we're going to be talking about was published in the Diabetes Care in 2018. It's entitled, Saturated Fat is More Metabolically Harmful to the Human Liver than Unsaturated Fat or Simple Sugars. And they go on to talk about how it is the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is increasing in triglyceride content to the liver, predisposes to the type 2 diabetes mellitus and cardiovascular disease. We're certainly going to talk about that. And in this study, they did some overfeeding of saturated fats, and they compared it to unsaturated fats. And it was the increase in the saturated fats that really seemed to cause the greatest damage to the liver. Mm-hmm. And that has so many implications when you talk about obesity medicine. So let's just start at the very beginning here. First of all, what's going on with fatty liver? Is it important? How big of a deal should clinicians, make of this? And then secondly, how do you even define, what are the various different definitions for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I feel that a lot of clinicians don't focus or are unaware of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease as it pertains to obesity. First of all, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is liver disease not related to alcohol consumption. We have to know the definition. And it's not due to medications, and it's not due to genetic or autoimmune conditions. So this is mainly a side effect of nutrition, lifestyle, and obesity. And one of the things is that fatty liver, so you're saying, so what? One of the things is that fat in your liver will prevent a patient from losing weight. So it is important to detect in your patients. There are certain ethnicities that may have more fat in their liver compared to other ethnicities that we can cover. But the main thing is when you have fatty liver, it increases the incidence of cardiovascular disease. We're now seeing as children as young as 8 years of age, with increased carotid artery thickness. So children are not even immune to this. Children, adults, when you see fatty liver, think about the heart. So it does have clinical implications about cardiovascular disease. Second, it's most important because it tells you that there's a risk factor of cancer. So there's a progression to cancer, not only liver cancer, but all other types of cancer. And finally, the liver disease is going to lead to cirrhosis and other liver complications. It is often a condition that's ignored, I think, by many clinicians. It's easier to focus on, let's say, diabetes or lipids, but most people don't screen or look for fatty liver, which in fact is the origin of a lot of this metabolic derangements.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, so I'm a clinical trialist. I do a lot of clinical trials. We do fatty liver clinical trials, and in our screening to find patients to participate, we generally do look for the risk factors, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. The overweight or the obesity, increase in liver enzymes, central obesity. You know, we try to target these types of things. And then we've been doing these different types of diagnostics, and we do the transient elastography, it's a fiber scan. We also do magnetic resonance imaging, proton density fat fraction, we call it, MRI, PDFF, or MRE. So there's a lot of different things that we do, but it wasn't until we started doing fiber scan screenings that even I had any kind of clue as to the prevalence of not just some fatty liver disease. I'm talking about not just fatty liver, but fibrosis. And I mean, I know you're talking about pediatrics a lot, but I'm talking about in the adult population. Even though I had lectured on this topic, I had published on this topic, it wasn't until we started doing actual screening on just regular folks, had the diabetes and increase in liver enzymes and obesity and such, that I just firsthand began to even just have some sort of understanding about how prevalent that this is. I mean, absolutely. What's going on? Why is this happening?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to mention there was a really good article that talked about insulin resistance and fatty liver, and specifically when intrahepatic triglycerides are greater than 6%, meaning when you start having fat deposition in your liver, that starts insulin resistance. And we all know that insulin resistance has an implication in PCOS, in your lipids, in everything, right? So we study about this as obesity medicine physicians. So, but then a lot of people say, well, where does this insulin resistance come from? It's from your liver. Your liver is your metabolic clock. And and this is why it's important to screen early. And unfortunately, the AASLD and the adult societies do not have any recommendations for routine screening of NAFLD. And they even don't really encourage a systematic screening of family members. They only mention that if a patient has type 2 diabetes or if they have high markers that make you consider NAFLD, that consider NASH or fibrosis, that's when you should screen. But that's a contrast to the pediatric societies. Pediatrics, at the age of 9 to 11, they recommend screening with just an ALT, not imaging, just an ALT for patients greater than 95th percentile or 85th percentile with comorbidities. But you're saying, so why should I screen for it? Because if a patient has fat in their liver, maybe you can work really aggressively to reduce the fat in the liver so they don't progress. I call the metabolic march. They don't progress then to dyslipidemia. They don't then progress to type 2 diabetes. Fatty liver is the first problem that you'll see, and perhaps you can prevent the progression of disease in your patients.
Yeah, and just for clarity, NAFLD is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and the NASH that you spoke of is non-alcoholic steatohepatitis for the non-gastroenterology people out there, okay? All right, so let's say that you have a patient, they have the overweight and the obesity, they have an increase in the ALT. Clinician goes, I'm not going to really do these diagnostic tests, but I feel pretty confident that this patient very well may have fatty liver. What do you do?
So there is actually a couple articles that came out. So this is an algorithm for primary care clinics, Journal of Gastro and Journal of Gastrohepatology, that you could go ahead and do. So in adults, do ultrasound and labs and try the FIB-4 score or NFS score. The whole purpose is to find patients with fibrosis. If the patient does not have fibrosis, you can continue your diet and weight loss program and intervention program. But if they have any markers that makes you concerned about fibrosis, then you need to address it with a hepatologist and collaborate with them.
And when you say nutritional intervention and physical activity, What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. So, you know, there are several articles that talk about, and there are many different diets that have shown improvement in NAFLD, but generally a high protein diet, Mediterranean diet, or a low carb diet has been studied and has shown improvement and reduction in steatosis in patients.
So if we circle back to the article we're talking about, if you're going to do a carbohydrate restricted diet, and you have an option between, saturated fats or unsaturated fats, you know what I'm talking about here. You know, many of our colleagues, what would you recommend based upon the science?
Absolutely. Well, you have to look at the science, right? So this article came out, and it was actually quite concerning for me, too, because a lot of patients, when they cut back on their carbs, they eat a lot more fat. But we found in this article that saturated fats are metabolically more damaging than the sugars. Mind you, the sugars were right there in second place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's fair.
We're
not arguing about whether it should be carbohydrate restricted or not.
Right.
That's fine. We're good with that.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the issue is that the saturated fats did overload the metabolic machinery of the liver. There were concerns about increased amounts of plasma ceramides, issues about the microbiota. So there are many mechanisms, but they did find it to be more metabolically damaging in this article.
Right. And the ceramides are the derivatives of fatty acids, particularly in the liver, that can become hepatotoxic and can contribute to the insulin resistance and all the things that you talked about. So if you had to encapsulate the overriding message for clinicians, is that if you have a patient you suspect has fatty liver, to prevent all those horrible things that you talk about that may happen, and they're overweight or they have obesity, perhaps weight reduction. And if you're going to do weight reduction with a carbohydrate restricted diet, would you agree that unsaturated fats would be preferable to saturated fats?
I would say so. And also, because there are a lot of articles regarding Mediterranean diet and what is the main fat content there is a lot of unsaturated fats. And I think everything at the end of the day is moderation, not having any nutrient in excess, because any nutrient in excess will cause metabolic derangements at some point in the liver. So, having lower free sugars and carbohydrates, being very cautious with the amount of fats, higher protein diets, and we've seen articles that show both plant-based and animal-based is just as effective, and not to forget about exercise, because you need to use those energy stores. So it is multifactorial to help reduce liver fat.
Well, I think that's a perfect place to stop here. I thought that was outstanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Carju. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.